Welcome to the Social Marketing Nerds podcast. This is actually our first English episode. This is usually a German podcast. And before we kick this off, let us give a short German introduction and then I'm gonna switch back to English. So, für alle deutschen Zuhörer, ihr habt richtig gehört, das ist kein Fehler hier. Ihr hört heute in unsere erste englische Folge hinein. Ich hoffe, dieses neue Konzept wird euch gefallen. Wir werden in den nächsten Wochen und Monaten weitere englische Interviews auf unserem Podcast führen und euch ein paar Speaker für das AdsCamp 2019 vorstellen. Unser erster Gast wird einer der Keynote-Speaker sein. Es wird ein sehr spannendes Interview. Er hat einiges auf dem Kasten, einiges zu erzählen heute. Wir machen jetzt weiter auf Englisch. Viel Spaß dabei. So, welcome back in English. I'm very happy. I'm very excited to have every one of you on our first English speaking episode. And our first guest is a great one. He's going to be one of the keynote speakers at AdsCamp 2019. And yes, when it comes to Facebook and Instagram advertising, he's on the cutting edge right now. He's actually been there right from the beginning, even before the newsfeed started. He was already selling ads and running campaigns inside Facebook's FBX ad exchange, that old network they started with back in the day, and they have now shut down it several years ago. He's been there in the past and he is here in the present. He is in the trenches every day, basically running ads for his clients. And he gave me a list of some of the companies he is working with right now. So to give you an idea, some of his clients are Eventbrite, Square, Fitbit, and the list actually goes on and on. So he started his own agency in 2012. And since then, he has managed now over $10 million in Facebook and Instagram ad budget. That's actually quite a lot, I think. And he also is running training courses and he's running them with John Luma. John Luma is probably the most well-known Facebook expert from the US and he's running all training courses with Andrew. And yes, Andrew also has his own podcast. It is called the E-Commerce Influence Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, and so on. You can just Google it. And I can highly recommend this podcast to every one of you. Listen to this. I've been checking out his latest episodes, and I really found some gold nuggets and tips and tricks we implemented last week already in our campaigns. And without taking any further ado, I'm very happy to have him on the show. Welcome to the show, Andrew Foxwell.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm honored to be your first English guest and in the first English speaking episode here. So I feel bad that I don't speak German, to be honest, but I'm honored to be here and glad to be a part of this.
Yeah, thank you very much. I have to apologize for my accent, but I have an accent in German as well. So our listeners are familiar with that. So no problem with that. So can you talk a little bit about your agency? So what do you actually do with Foxwell Digital from your point?
Yeah, definitely. So Foxwell Digital is a little bit unique in what we do. I run the business with my wife, Gracie, and we do management. So just like a traditional Facebook and Instagram advertising agency, we manage advertisements for different brands. We also do coaching and consulting with a lot of e-commerce brands. We have a network of agencies that we work with and consult with and help their agencies grow as well. And that group of people manages about $20 million a month on Facebook and Instagram advertising around the world. And then we finally do a lot of teaching with John Loomer, right? So we kind of co-teach classes with John and get basically education out there to the masses. And then the final thing that we do is our e-commerce influence podcast. Our business works with that, and we just surpassed 18,000 monthly downloads of the e-commerce influence podcast, and we are happy that so many people are taking in our content. So that's what we do at Foxwell Digital. So we do a lot of different stuff, but it all centers around Facebook and Instagram paid advertising. And I've been doing it for since it was invented, really. So my whole professional career almost.
So you started there before the newsfeed or when
yes. With the newsfeed? Yep, before the newsfeed. Yep. So I originally did all right hand side ads and right hand side like ads. That was where I started. Have been in it a long time and have seen the platform really grow, and it's incredible what it's been able to do for businesses all over the world. So I'm excited that I get to talk about it today.
Awesome. Yeah. So right now, what is the average monthly budget of the clients you work with? So
sure. Yeah. I mean, the average monthly budget of people we work with is a little bit different because it depends on a lot of different factors. So most of the clients we have are probably managed, you know, they're probably in the $30,000 to $50,000 US, a month. However, there are a number of other clients that we consult with through agencies, yeah, through some of these partner agencies. And that, like, we're working on a couple of accounts that are spending, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 a month, and trying to help them grow and scale that. So it's a little bit hard to say, you know, the full, like, what we do specifically. We have had times in our company's history, we've been around for 5 years, that we've managed, you know, over $1 million a month. And I would say now we're probably in the $300,000 a month range. But it's also, that doesn't include some of those bigger accounts that we're on. So we kind of play a role in a lot of different places to be a central hub for a lot of people that are some of the biggest spenders in e-commerce advertising, to make sure that we know and understand what they're doing and why. And then they'll reach out to us too for getting ideas of how they can grow their account.
Yes. So listening to your podcast, I really liked the work ethic you share with your partner. So you are from Wisconsin, from the Midwest, and maybe you have a little different approach to some of other people from the US. So what is that Midwestern work ethic you talk about in your...
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I think a lot of people in this industry, right, they look at it and say, you know, we're going to crush it. We're going to kill it. We're going to make $1 million. We're going to make and they make a lot of very strong statements around kind of that mentality of, you have to be hustling. You have to be doing this. You have to, you know, be doing some form of, you know, aggressive type of bidding or whatever, right? There's a lot of different things that you can do. And it's not necessarily our strategy, right? The way that we work with brands, the people we are working with now, the clients we're working with, the agency partners we work with, those people have been our clients for a long time. And what, like, most of them have been with us for over 2 years already. And what we want to do and what our goal is always trying to help brands scale in a sustainable way and helping them to grow in a way that you're going to see reliable, repeatable revenue over time. And the Midwestern work ethic is, it's all about, to me, getting up every day and making sure to ask the question, what can we be trying that's different? What can we try that's new? And how do we just dedicate ourselves to incredible client service at every turn, right? So making sure that people are happy, we understand what they're really looking for. So that Midwestern work ethic is a big part of it for us and goes into the mentality of, we're not going to make huge promises that are over the top to say, yes, we're going to kill it. No problem. You're going to absolutely make so much money. You're not going to know what to do with it, because we feel that if we're honest and transparent with them with a client or a potential client at the outset, then they're going to be able to see and get better, reliable results. That's going to build them a long-term business, which is what we're ultimately trying to do.
Yeah, that's really awesome, and I really like your idea around that, because we have the same situation here in Germany or in online marketing as a whole, and we also see that there is a very we have some clients or some potential clients, they have a real high anticipation to the channel, and maybe their anticipation is a bit too high because all the stuff they read from other online marketers who, you know, they sell some silver bullets, but they don't can really
do it at the end of the day. And we have kind of that same approach. So we have, there's a lot of people approach us, but the anticipation to the channel maybe is a bit too high. We have to teach them that it's at the end of the day, you can do this. These marketing channels Facebook is building are really powerful, but you still have to put in a lot of work. You have to work with it every day. It's not that you click two or three buttons and then the money is going to come in. So I really like the similarities here to our approach we have here in Germany with our agency, actually. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today we want to deep dive a bit into scaling. You are very into the concepts, and actually, from our experience, a lot of advertisers actually have trouble with this. So they have a small account; it's kind of working well, but then they want to scale up, and they have really problems scaling it up, getting an account from maybe spending like 5,000 a month to like 50,000 or even larger a month. So I really like your concepts around it. Can you share a little bit on how you do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, scaling and growing an account, growing the spend on an account is something that a lot of people struggle with, as you said. And I think one of the biggest challenges with scaling is that you have to basically, everything has to be going right. Right. So there's so many parts of this that you need to be working. For example, your website has to be working. Your website has to have a good conversion rate that people get to the website, understand what it is that you do and why, and are willing to purchase, right? Like to understand it. Now, it's harder if you have a higher average order value and your cost is a little bit higher. But you know, you have to make sure that's right. The way that generally I think about scaling is there's a lot of different concepts and ways to do this, but it has to be built first on a foundation of understanding your core metrics that you're looking for. Okay. So before you even start to scale, you need to establish what I call really your ground rules, which are, what are you trying to do and what are the numbers you need to hit and how do you want to try to get there and at what speed? Okay. So, that's one thing, is establishing what's the click-through rate that I need to be able to see? What's the cost per click that I need to be able to see? What's the return on ad spend? What's the number of conversions that I need to see? Right. Because as you scale, you will unfortunately have your costs go up. The more people you talk to, the more that cost will increase. And so you need to understand what are the biggest numbers that I need to hit so that you can appropriately scale and have room to go about it. In terms of the way that you set up an account to scale, a lot of it comes down to then, once you've established your numbers, understanding what are the foundational aspects of how I am going to tell people about what we are trying to sell? So first of all, this is something, you know, it's like you can't just tell more people, you can't just increase an ad set budget by, you know, $100 US a day or whatever the number is and assume that that many more people are going to buy that day, right? So it really comes down to the concept of what I call horizontal scaling versus vertical scaling. Vertical scaling is just increasing ad set budgets versus horizontal scaling is understanding what are the pitches, what are the hooks that I am trying to get people to understand what I do and how am I utilizing a full funnel audiences to get them to understand that.
Yes. And has my target market maybe already seen my offer a lot? So if it is so, I have to switch my value propositions and
right.
All that stuff. So that's really like that idea around that. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you have to try to understand what that is, right? I mean, an example of this in practice is I was speaking yesterday to a large, pretty big company they're spending about $75,000 US a month and they're a furniture company. Okay. So their average order value is a lot higher. Well, they've had they've run carousel ads in the top funnel, and then they've tested that against a video showing some of their products in use. Well, clearly a video that really in technical details, it's a video link post within a conversion ad set is is the best vehicle for them because one, it shows off what that product even does and what it looks like in somebody's home.
Yeah.
And it also drives people to the website, right? And so that is, you know, like one option of like, okay, how do you get to scale is, are you using some form of understanding, maybe even with video or maybe a slideshow or not, that people are like, okay, that's what this is. It's interesting to me. And then they have an audience, or they didn't have any audiences, excuse me, going to engage your custom audiences. So they didn't have anything going to people that were, had engaged with them in the last 14 days on Facebook or Instagram. And they didn't have anything going to their top percentage custom audiences as either. Yes. And so,
okay,
if you don't have anything going there and all you're doing is you're launching an ad of people that have never heard of you before, and then you're launching an ad with remarketing that, you know, like a dynamic product ad or something, there's a lot that you're missing there to convince people what it is that you do, right? And why it's interesting. So that's a lot of what scaling is understanding, how do I come up with a variety of content that talks about my multi-value propositions, as you said, and build and scale horizontally across so that people really understand what we do. And then of course, there's so many nuances as well around things like bidding and how do you bid and how do you get in front of, you know, and use a mixture of bids to get people to understand or get in front of more people.
Yeah. And obviously every client, every product is different, but most of the time you will have some campaigns obviously going more upper funnel, so targeting new people. And then we have other campaigns who are retargeting campaigns and really forcing a sale at the end of the day. So, and on the upper funnel, what are the metrics you're usually looking for on a regular basis while scaling?
Yeah, I mean, for me on the upper funnel, it's looking at things like, okay, is my, and this is in the U.S. Okay, so just to be to say this carefully, you know, is like looking at is the click through rate the link click through rate over 1%? Is the cost per link click under $1? And then it's looking at things like, is my relevance score, at least on prospecting traffic, a 5 or a 6 and above? I've heard a lot of people say relevance score doesn't matter, which I totally disagree with, because what that is that's Facebook telling you how do people like this ad. I mean, you know. And then I'm looking at that. And then I'm looking on the prospecting side as I start to build more audiences. That's the creative side. As I kind of build more audiences, I'm starting to look at things like the first time impression ratio, which if you've never looked at it, is under the delivery insights tool at the ad set level, and allows you to see, okay, this is how many people have been seeing this. And you can see that if you're not, you know, reaching as many people, or you're maybe wearing out a 1% lookalike or an interest that you're targeting, you can actually see how many people and percentage of people see that declining number of people that are seeing your ad for the first time. So that's some of the things that I'm looking at from a prospecting standpoint. The other thing that's important to mention on prospecting traffic is that many times we think about our prospecting traffic as one bundle, right? We think about, okay, I'm going to create a lookalike audience of my people that have added a cart. I'm going to create a lookalike audience of people that have purchased, et cetera. And really what you want to understand is these are different types of people, right? An example of this with a client I looked at last week was a particular client. I looked at the overlap using the audience overlap tool, which is a great tool. And I looked at their email list and those that had added to cart. Their email list was 77,000 people. Their ads to cart were about 40,000. And there was only a 5% overlap between those two core audiences. So my point is that the people on your email list are not like the people on that have added something to cart. So making sure that you create separate audiences for them, and whether that's a 1 or a 2 or 3% lookalike, there's a lot of validity of doing that in a different way, you know, is separating those at the ad set level so that Facebook can try to find those people differently and not trying to lump them all into one, right? That's a really big part that not a lot of people understand.
Yes, I really like some of the stuff you said right now. From our experience, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, relevance score got more important than it was before. That's what I see. You have more advertisers on the channel. There's more competition. And with more competition, relevance score is much more important than it was back in the day. That's my personal experience.
No, so totally.
I really can share. I'm with you here. And I have another question. What about campaign budget optimization? What do you think about the feature?
Yeah. So I'm right now, you know, I had basically said a while ago in the fall that I didn't like it. It wasn't working very well. It was distributing things in a weird way. But actually in the month of October, November. Have made me a huge convert of campaign budget optimization. I love it. I particularly love it as it relates to prospecting traffic. The issue I've seen with it on remarketing traffic is that it actually sometimes doesn't assign the remarketing traffic, the ad set, you know, the best to the best performing or the spend to the best performing. And I'm not sure why that is, but on prospecting traffic, I love that. Usually I start it with, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 different ad set audiences, you know, with a variety of different kind of sizes to them. So like a small one, like a 2% lookalikes, and then maybe an interest grouping, and then maybe a 10% lookalike. And some others like an engager lookalike. And I like what it's done. It finds great people. And I use the ads under CBO or campaign budget optimization as the control. So I have the same ads that I social proof across all those ad sets running. So then the audience is really the variant. And that's been incredibly helpful because otherwise it's almost too many variables. And I'm like, don't understand what's working or what's not.
Yeah. So I think one mistake you can make with campaign budget optimization is that you put in custom audience or retargeting audiences and cold traffic as well. Also, you're putting cold and warm traffic in one campaign. I think that can really mess up the whole performance, but I'm totally on your side. I think campaign budget optimization is one of the best features Facebook has released in the last, since the Facebook pixel even, I guess, because with it running only on prospecting traffic, you can really focus on the work, finding new audiences and come up with ideas what to show these audiences, and don't have to mess up with tiny optimizations you do on a daily basis because Facebook does that move for you. So
yeah,
I totally have the same experience. But in the beginning, just like you said, we had some problems with it as well. And most of the time it was we put in retargeting and prospecting maybe in one campaign. And then obviously Facebook found out very, very quickly that obviously the retargeted traffic is the hot traffic when it comes to optimizing for purchases. And that's why the prospecting audiences didn't get any more reach. So this is, I think, one of the beginner mistakes you can make with it. But for me, it's really, for us, it's one of the best features they have released in the past. Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I agree about your point of not making sure you're not putting the remarketing and prospecting in one ad set. Or in one campaign, excuse me.
Yes. So from your perspective, to sum it up, what is actually the most important thing when it comes to performance marketing on Facebook and Instagram?
It's
the number one thing. What's the number one thing you would say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that honestly, the number one thing that you say when it comes to performance marketing on Facebook and Instagram advertising is you have to accept the fact that you know nothing. You know, you have to accept the fact that you have a baseline of understanding of certain things, but things change all the time. So you have to be constantly testing and improving. And if your agency that you're working with doesn't say that, right? Saying things like, yeah, no, we're experts at this. We've been doing this a long time, but we also have to say, you know, look, we're testing and learning, and that's what we do. And that's what this channel is. Then that's really, really important, because what works for one client doesn't necessarily work for the other. So that's the biggest thing for me as it relates to doing performance marketing on social.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and when you audit a new account, a new client, what are the biggest levers of optimization right now for you?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the big levers of optimization are always going to be essentially what I call the I go through the optimization process or the auditing process, what I call the RCAP process, which is reporting, creative, audiences, budget, and placement. And so that's where a lot of that's where all the optimizations sit, in my opinion, within Facebook. And bidding is, of course, one of the, it's one of those that I missed. That's at the end. So bidding and then a placement. And so it's really a thing of, you know, understanding, look, what are the ways that, what in terms of creative, how are we talking to people and in what parts of the funnel are we talking to them in? Audiences and the audience optimization comes down to, am I using and understanding different audiences and the way that they react to things, right? So an example of this is like what we just talked about is like your ads to cart lookalike being different than your email list lookalike. And are you making sure that not only on the prospecting side, but on the remarketing side, you're creating smaller windows. So, you know, you have a 30-day website custom audience and a 7-day add to cart or whatever, right? You're at least splitting things out a little bit to speak to people that are more relevant or have just come to your site. And then the bidding side is, are you utilizing, to me, a mixture of bids? So are you utilizing things like a bid override? Are you utilizing things like a target cost bid or a cost cap bid? And are you utilizing things like value bidding, right? So it's understanding that you are wanting to use a mix and you're not doing everything the same just on an auto bid, which I think is important from an optimization standpoint. And then the final one is looking at P. So placement, right, is that's looking at how am I separating out in different parts of the funnel, Instagram stories, and you know, Instagram newsfeed. And some people go about this differently. Some people are not going to do any splits and that's fine for them and it works. But for me, I've really seen that Instagram stories and Instagram newsfeed are different on the lower part of the funnel, and you're going to get in front of more clients by separating those things out. So that's a placement optimization. So those are the biggest levers and just some ideas around them that I like to go through when I'm going through that process.
So, and can you compare the importance just one more time? So what do you think of these is the most important? And what is the,
I mean, the most important one is creative right off the bat. Most people think that the audience is the big one. And audiences are obviously important, right? But at the
important. And it's easy to switch around with the audiences, but but it's actually creative is the harder part.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to think about, you know, what are you putting in front of people and do they care? And you have to try a lot of different stuff. So, you know, that's really, really what you're always trying to push for. And when people say to me, going back to your initial question of scaling, right? People say, I want to scale. My first thing is, okay, that's great. We can talk about how to get you there. But the question is, what is the creative that you have? And how are you going to continue to create different ideas of things, right? We can't just build this on what you've been running the last 6 months.
Yes, you have to kind of prepare for the scaling part. We have the same experience with some clients, but one in particular, we had to roll out a campaign all across Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, and it was working pretty well, and he wanted the performance really quickly, so we had to scale up very, very fast. And we were always in every status call every week, we were like, okay, we now have to find out some new content, some new value propositions we can market with in about 2 or 3 weeks, because in 2 or 3 weeks everyone in Germany, Austria gonna have seen it, and then we have to figure out a new way to reach the audience. But you know, they didn't come up with that, and then obviously about 1 month later performance didn't work anymore because everyone has seen it here in the country, and then they were upset that the channel is not working anymore and they weren't able to scale. That's exactly the problem I think a lot of people can run into when trying to really bid really large amounts on Facebook and get a lot back.
Totally.
Yes. Okay. So you also have experience on a global level. So for some clients, you run ads globally. We talked about that before. Mm-hmm. What is your experience? What are the differences in the markets between US, Europe, and other markets? Do you have any experiences on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest differences are just size in a lot of ways, right? I think size is one in terms of, you know, when you're creating lookalike audiences in the US versus lookalike audiences in other countries like Australia or Germany or the UK, you know, the audience sizes are different and they behave differently. So you can't translate directly what you're doing. That's one thing. I think that another one is just usage and understanding the usage, right? In the US right now, we've seen a considerable shift in Instagram. And really there's a lot more daily active users there. And you're able to get in front of a lot more people there. And in places, in the UK and, you know, like I said, another common Australia or even Japan, in some instances, Facebook is still the leader in a lot of ways. And people aren't using Instagram as much. So I would say those are some of the biggest differences that I see is both in the size of the audiences, and in terms of, you know, how they're using the product and what you are doing in terms of optimizing around placement and things like that. And trying different objectives too. That's a big one. So, you know, conversion objective can work really well in the US for a long time. And in other countries, you do need to try other objectives to get in front of people because there's just less people that are in different objective pools.
Yes, you're going to run into, like I said before, with that client, you are running into a situation where most of the people have seen it in one target market very much more quickly than you obviously you run in the US. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes, and also on the click, do you have any experience on the prices at the end of the day? Because we have some experience, obviously, in the US, it's maybe the most expensive market to bid on, and the click rates are pretty high. But at the end of the day, the click prices are also very high because the CPM is high, and we've seen the US is probably the most expensive, and then you have Germany, UK, and some other European markets or like Japan, who are kind of in the mid. But then on the other hand, if you market the same product to Asia, it's still like it was maybe in the US 5 or 6 years ago. It's you get really still get one sec click prices on a large scale. Have you experiences with that as well?
Or? Yeah, my experiences mirrors exactly what you're saying. The US is definitely the most competitive, and if you can make things work in the US, then you can make them work in other places. I would say definitely. It's really a matter of when going back to talking about scaling, you know, scaling into other countries is a really big opportunity for many brands that they don't realize is out there. So, if you have a way to ship things to other countries, you know, then I would jump on that opportunity immediately because there is much less competition in those places. And as you said, the cost per clicks and et cetera in the US are higher. The CPMs are higher. You know, Facebook goes by this concept of what we call tier one, tier two, tier three countries in terms of user quality and pricing. And tier one countries are like US, Canada, Germany, the UK, France. And then tier two countries are things like Japan, as we talked about, right? And then a tier three country would be like India, right? User quality is not very good. The quality and interactions they have is not as good. The dollars per user is not as good. So, you know, it's just understanding if you're going to try to go into multiple countries, what is the goal that you're trying to go for and how, in terms of the, if you're trying to do e-commerce, you're trying to sell something, how are you adapting your creative and your audiences to that country specifically? Because I think a lot of people just take a lookalike audience and they have it for a US and then they all of a sudden start targeting Canada with a US generated lookalike audience, which is not an ideal situation.
Yes, I totally share that experience. We are very happy to have you on stage at our conference in May. So can you share a little bit on what's going to happen on stage? What are you going to show to us on stage?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're really excited to be there, and I'm very happy that we're going to be able to share some knowledge. We're going to be talking about scaling in 2019, and we're going to talk about how you scale, how you set up for scale, the ways that you can, the things you can start to look at to make sure that you're ready to do it, and then some tactics and strategies of how you start to scale things out. What are the audiences you use? What's the creative you use? We've had really good feedback off of that course. A number of people have said that they've really used that framework to start making a lot of money for their company. And so I'm really happy to go through how we really advise people to scale, because I think that's really what all of us are trying to do, right? We're trying to grow our business more sustainably. So I'm excited to be there to talk about it.
Yes, awesome. So we're going to really, are really looking forward to that talk on our stage. And actually, you offered us that, you are also going to be teaching one of our event attendees on a one-on-one coaching on the day of our conference. So thank you for that. Yeah. Someone lucky is going to have a one-on-one coaching with Andrew and Gracie. And you're going to dive into the ad account and see what can be optimized with your experience. And, well, we don't want to make it easy for everyone. So we have a question you have to answer to get that one-on-one coaching. So what is that question, Andrew?
Yeah, so the question is, how many accounts have I audited in 2018? So how many Facebook ad accounts did I actually look at and give feedback on in 2018?
So how many ad accounts has Andrew Foxwell audited in 2018? I would like you to comment the answer on the Facebook post to this podcast episode. So go to our Facebook post for Facebook page, Social Marketing Nerds, and comment on the post of this episode. And then one day before the conference, so on the 12th of May, we're going to give you the number, the real number, and we're going to poll the winner, and the winner is then going to have a one-on-one coaching with Andrew and Gracie right at our conference. Thank you for offering that, man.
Yeah,
thank you very
much. Of
course,
I'm happy to.
Cool. Awesome. And so to wrap everything up, we always ask which of the past Facebook updates were was one of the best for you, in your opinion, to your opinion?
Yes. I think the best one thus far is honestly the campaign budget optimization. So I think that's a big one. And then value bidding optimization is my other personal favorite. Yeah, I love them. And I think they're okay. Going really well.
So, but also there's, I hope there is still a lot to come from Facebook. So are there any other updates you really would wish on the platform? Anything you are waiting for?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, really hoping that they roll out augmented reality faster. So being able to take products and put them on people's shelves or put them in your room. Shopify has shown that they can do this. So it's just a matter of time of when that gets going. People can try on products via taking a photo of themselves and things like that. So to me, that is really going to change the game. And I'm really excited for that.
Yes. And Facebook has to do this because they have to get more inventory to the platform. Right now, they're a bit shaky right now with growing the inventory, especially in Europe and Germany. It's not the daily active users are not growing anymore. So yeah, they have to find some new way to show ads to people, and that would be obviously another innovation to the marketing world. Yes, like they did in the past.
Absolutely.
Yes. So where can our listeners contact or find more about you on the time before our conference?
Yeah, you can utilize our website, which is foxwelldigital.com, foxwelldigital.com. And that's where you can really learn a lot about us. And then if you want to chat with me, you can hit us up there, or you can find me on Twitter as well at Andrew Foxwell. And I look forward to being in touch.
Okay. Thank you very much, Andrew. We are really looking forward to your talk, to your visit to Germany with Gracie, with your partner. And yeah, thank you very much for sharing those insights.
Yeah, you bet, my friend. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks, everyone, for listening all the way through. I hope you enjoyed our show. We are the Social Marketing Nerds. This is usually a German podcast, but this is our first English episode and there is some more to come. And as we talked about already in the episode, we also happen to host and organize a conference which is focused on performance marketing in social media. So it's going to be about Facebook and Instagram advertising, but we're also going to have talks around LinkedIn ads, Pinterest ads, growth hacking, messenger marketing. And it's an annual conference and it's going to take place on the 13th and 14th of May in Cologne, Germany. And for the first time, we will have the second day with international experts. So it's going to be all English on the second day, the 14th of May. And we're going to have some real hot speakers from all around the globe. And yeah, you can find out everything about the conference on our website. It's adscamp.com. We're going to link it in the show notes. And if you are attending, you can be one of the lucky guys or the one lucky guy who can win a one-on-one coaching totally free of charge. In order to win that one-on-one coaching, please go to our Facebook page, The Social Marketing Nerds, and there we're going to have posted about this podcast episode. And just below the Facebook post, please comment and comment with the answer to Andrew's question: how many ad accounts has he actually audited in 2018? As soon as you comment on that Facebook post, you're gonna be entered into the competition. And on the 12th of May 2019, so one day before our conference starts, we will announce the winner whose answer was the closest to the real number. And yes, I hope you are interested in our conference. And yes, I hope you liked our first show. Thank you very much for listening all the way through. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye from good old Germany.